Are we ready? Ready?
I'm ready.
Ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, let's go on the record. It's 10 a.m., March 5th, 2012. We're in the Oliver County Courthouse in Center, North Dakota for the administrative hearing in the matter of the siting application of Elite Incorporated. My name's Alan Hoberg. I'm the designated hearing officer today. I'll take appearances from counsel, starting with Elite, please.
Good morning, Your Honor and Commissioners. David Moeller on behalf of Elite or Minnesota Power.
Thank you. And you have your two witnesses at table with you?
I do.
And they are?
Next to me is Daniel McCourtney, who will be a witness for Minnesota Power, and then Dwight Anderson to his left, who's from Elite Clean Energy, will also be a witness.
Thank you. Mr. Armstrong, please.
Mitch Armstrong, Special Assistant Attorney General on behalf of the Public Service Commission. With me is Jerry Lean, a public utility analyst. I move Mr. Lean be allowed to ask questions today.
Granted. And of course, to my left are members of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, Commissioner Kevin Kramer, Commission Chairman Tony Clark, and Commissioner Brian Kalk. I'll shortly be asking them for their opening comments, but first I want to talk a little bit about public participation, public testimony. Mr. Lean will be circulating an attendance sheet. I'm not sure how many members of the public here. If I could have a show of hands, how many members of the public? Two. The commission encourages public testimony at its hearings. And of course, this is really the only opportunity you have to present information to the commission because they can only consider evidence or information that's presented at the public hearing. Do either of you intend to present testimony today? No? Okay. Well, I'll ask again later in case members of the public do show up. Just briefly as background, on November 14th, 2011, Minnesota Power, a division of Elite, filed applications for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit to authorize construction of approximately 11 miles of 230-kilovolt electric transmission line and associated facilities in Oliver County, North Dakota, as was shown on an attached map that was filed with the application. Minnesota Power requests the commission waive procedures and time schedules set forth in North Dakota Century Code Chapter 4922 and North Dakota Administrative Code Article 6906 to allow for a single consolidated application for a corridor certificate and route permit and to hold a combined hearing on the waiver request and application for corridor certificate and route permit. The commission scheduled today's public hearing on this application and the, oh goodness.
Keep rolling, Judge. I'd find out if the transmission line worked in range.
All right. And there are four issues for the hearing today. For the record, those are, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Second, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? Third, will the proposed facilities locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? And finally, is it appropriate for the commission to waive procedures and time schedules as requested, including the request for a single consolidated application for corridor certificate and route permit? Those are the four issues for today. I'll call on the commissioners at this time for their comments, starting with Commissioner Clark, please.
Just good morning and welcome. Thanks to the applicant for being here. I see we only have a couple members of the public, but if you do hear something during the course of the proceedings that caused you to testify or wish to clarify something or add to something, that is certainly welcome. As Judge Hoberg mentioned, this is the only opportunity that we have to gather public input. These proceedings are a little bit more formal than you may be used to. More formal certainly than legislative hearings or city councils or county commissions, things like that. But it's not to dissuade you from testifying. It's really just because the law says that we have to develop a record in such a manner, and we can only decide the case based on things said here and not outside of the hearing room. So with that, if you do hear something, please feel free to testify, and look forward to a good, thorough hearing this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Well, good morning and welcome. Thank you for being here. And I think Tony has wrapped it up pretty well. Just know we're here for you. So if there's an issue today, today's the chance to articulate it, and we want to hear it. And that, by the way, means if you're supportive, that's okay to let us know that as well. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Kalk, please.
Just thank you all for coming. Thank the company for putting this all together and our folks for getting ready. As has been brought up with my colleagues, the reason we're here today is to get the public input. So we look forward to any comments from the folks in the audience, and this is your chance to say your piece. So thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. Of course, the applicant will present its case first, and indications are there are two witnesses. Mr. Moeller's indicated two witnesses, as he said, Dwight Anderson and Daniel McCourtney. It'll be direct examination by Mr. Moeller, and then some questions or cross-examination from Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Lean, and then perhaps some questions from the commissioners. Then I'll allow such further questions of the witnesses until there are no further questions of the witnesses. And you've indicated you have three exhibits, two, and he'll be offering those at the time or through his witnesses. Then I'll call on public testimony. As of this time, we don't have anybody indicating, but I'll ask again later. And as the commissioners indicated, this is a bit more formal. It's not a question and answer session, but if you have an issue or concern, certainly bring it up, and perhaps the applicant or the commissioners will address your issue or concern. And there may be some rebuttal from the applicant if there's some testimony from the public, but we'll see what happens there. Won't be any decision reached today. The commission will review all of the evidence upon their return to Bismarck, and they'll be issuing findings of fact and conclusions of law and a final order regarding whether the siting application should be granted, in other words, whether the corridor certificate and route permit should be issued or denied or other administrative action taken. Party not agreeing with the final decision of the commission may have appeal rights or other rights under the Administrative Agencies Practice Act, Chapter 2832 of the North Dakota Century Code, and under the commission's rules, Article 6902. The burden of proof on this type of hearing is on the applicant elite to show by the greater weight of the evidence that it's entitled to the grant of the application it is seeking. Any questions about the procedures today, Mr. Moeller?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Armstrong?
No, Your Honor.
Any other questions? No questions? Did you want to begin with an opening statement, Mr. Moeller?
I don't have an opening statement, Your Honor. We could call our first witness, and then our second witness, we can do the exhibits through. Okay.
And there's no chairlift there. They're going to just be sitting. Oh, okay. Okay. And your first witness is Mr.
Dwight Anderson.
Anderson, okay. And I'll give the admonition I'm required to give by law once, unless somebody else comes in later, and that is I'm required by law to tell all witnesses at administrative hearings that the maximum penalty for perjury in this state is a Class C felony, punishable by maximum 5 years imprisonment, $5,000 fine, or both. And of course, as you understand, perjury is essentially not telling the truth in a hearing such as this. Mr. Anderson, being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Moeller, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Anderson, please state your name, your employer, and your occupation.
My name is Dwight Anderson. I'm employed by Elite Clean Energy in Duluth, Minnesota. My position is the Manager of Technical Development.
Mr. Anderson, please provide your educational background.
Received a Bachelor of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering from the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis in 1979. Okay.
What is your role in connection with the Southwest Oliver 230 kV transmission line project?
I represent the potential customer of this transmission line extension, Elite Clean Energy, responsible for developing the Elite Clean Energy's Clean Energy Number 1 wind project, which is currently being permitted by the commission in case number PU11662.
What is the purpose of your testimony at this proceeding?
The purpose of my testimony is to provide the commission information about the need and potential timing of the project and the respective roles of Minnesota Power and Elite Clean Energy.
Please briefly describe what is Elite Clean Energy.
Elite Clean Energy is a wholly owned subsidiary of Elite. We were established in August of 2011 to develop, acquire, and manage clean and renewable energy projects. Company works with electric utilities, cooperatives, municipals, independent power producers, and large end users across North America. The company is seeking to develop, seeking opportunities to develop projects in the $50 to $150 million range. These projects include joint ventures and projects fully owned by Elite Clean Energy or the customer.
What is the relationship between Elite Clean Energy and Minnesota Power?
Minnesota Power continues to be the Minnesota regulated public utility serving retail and wholesale customers in northeastern Minnesota. Elite Clean Energy is an independent power producer separate from Minnesota Power. In this case, Minnesota Power submitted an affiliated interest filing, with the Minnesota Public Utility Commission describing the separate functions and roles.
Why is Elite Clean Energy requesting Minnesota Power build this transmission line extension?
Minnesota Power is a transmission owner within MISO and with significant experience constructing and operating transmission lines, including complying with all NERC requirements. The extension will also connect with Minnesota Power's existing 230 kV transmission line that runs from the existing Bison substation to the Square Butte substation.
Who will pay the cost of the Southwest Oliver transmission project?
Elite Clean Energy will respond for all costs related to the extension and will pay Minnesota Power for its for use of the line once it is in service.
What is the project schedule for the transmission line?
The project schedule is dependent on Elite Clean Energy of securing an off-taker for its Clean Energy No. 1 wind project. When that occurs, Elite Clean Energy would request that Minnesota Power begin construction as soon as practical to achieve the required in-service date. We will keep the Commission informed of our progress and can provide a further update when the Clean Energy No. 1 project public hearing is held next month.
Does this complete your direct testimony?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Waller. Mr. Armstrong, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Anderson, just a very few questions for you. What is the timeline on seeking an off-taker?
We are we've been working hard to find an off-taker. We were formed last August, and we've been working hard to do that. Maybe provide a little more color around that answer. We did have a couple of prospects. We worked hard to try to find a deal with them. Unfortunately, we didn't want to give it away. So we did not come to closure at this time yet with an offtake.
Are you anticipating being able to find an offtaker? I assume you are, but...
Yes, we are. Certainly for 2012, the clock is timed out. But we're confident. There's some key things that have to occur to get there. I mean, there's need, which drives the demand for our product. The best way is the customer needs the power. So the recession right now is certainly slowing down the need by a number of the potential parties that we've been talking with. The other part is certainly on a regulatory side, the renewable requirements of the customers, because we would be looking to use this transmission line to transmit wind energy, or potentially, existing generation that gets impacted by new regulations that come on from an environmental standpoint. We feel we have a very competitive project with Clean Energy One. We have a very strong wind resource. We have a good ability to build out there. We've got great landowners to work with. I've had a pleasure to work with many of them as we've been working on our development of our project. It's a good regulatory climate here. We have a generator interconnect in place that allows us to get the low-cost energy across the North Dakota transmission interface to eastern Minnesota so that we can get it to market and making it more attractive to folks. The other key piece of the being competitive is, we never know what happens with our competitive alternatives. We think we're going to be better than any solar projects up in this neck of the woods. And then natural gas, if a company doesn't necessarily need renewable generation, then come down where those gas prices go.
That's all the questions I have.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Lean?
Just one. Can you tell me the status of that affiliated interest filing? Is that being set for hearing, or how what was the procedure there in Minnesota?
I could defer that to...
Mr. Moeller, you want to address that?
It's okay if the attorney answers that question, Jerry.
It's quasi-legal, so the status of a case. So,
We filed the petition with the Minnesota Commission last fall. We received comments from the Minnesota Department of Commerce representing state ratepayers in general, recommending denial of that petition. We just filed reply comments, Minnesota Power did, on February 23rd. And so we expect one more round of comments, probably from the Department of Commerce and maybe other interveners, and then probably hearing this summer sometime on that before the Minnesota Commission. There's not a set schedule, though, at this time.
So if it were denied, what would happen?
It's an open question in Minnesota. They haven't denied affiliate interest filings in the past. They've put conditions on them, but if they denied them, then there might be a question of what rate recovery would happen at that point, and then whether other and what the status of certain agreements between Elite Clean Energy and Minnesota Power would be an open question. What would happen at that point? But we're hoping for an approval in the future.
No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Commissioner Clark, please.
Just one question to satisfy my curiosity with regard to the PTC and how it would work with if you're able to answer, how it would work with a wholly owned affiliate. Of course, it's scheduled to end at the end of this year, but if it were renewed, how does the PTC work in relation to a separate affiliate like Clean Energy? Does it have to capture it and then it's potentially built into the cost of a PPA through and then flowed through to one of your customers? Does it accrue to Minnesota Power? I mean, just kind of walk through the implications of the PTC and how it's used in the case of an affiliated merchant power.
Certainly, and I'm not an accountant or a tax person, but my understanding is that Elite is not a holding company. And so we have Elite, and Minnesota Power is the operating division. So really, most of Elite is Minnesota Power, and then we're a subsidiary. So all of our stuff rolls up to Elite, so it rolls together for an overall. So we'd roll it up into the best way it can. So it would benefit the project. You know, certainly it helps keep those costs down so we're more competitive to potential customers.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Kramer, please.
If the PTC is not extended, obviously you've been out pitching the project to the utilities in Minnesota. There's still a portfolio standard. Is there a sense of how that's going to play out? In other words, without the PTC, of course, this stuff becomes pretty difficult to justify economically. On the other hand, there is the mandate. Are companies close to meeting that? In fact, I don't even know if Minnesota Power is close to meeting theirs. But so there seemed to me there'd still be some market. It'd just be a very different market.
And really, I'd answer that in two ways. The needs for the renewables. I mean, my understanding is many of the companies are well along their way. And that's why, as I see it, the key is the need for the power first, because that's the best way you can have it, because then you're not offsetting existing generation. And what I see is the strength of this project, the project we have and the resource we have, is that it is a low-cost alternative. And so it's pretty competitive unto itself, you know, subject to where, you know, get $1 natural gas, well, maybe it's a little different answer. But that's why, it's a lot to figure out, you know, where does that go? What are the needs? And what we would really like to see is the economy to come back, because that was really going to drive the demand to make this sooner rather than later. And then the PTC is not there. Yeah, is it going to be more expensive? But the nice part is we have that strong resource. So if you're comparing against another wind resource someplace else, I think we're pretty good shape.
Well, I'd like to hear that. Yeah. Good. I have nothing else. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Kalk, please. No questions? Anything further, Mr. Anderson? No further questions? Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mm-hmm. And Mr. McCourtney. Mr. McCourtney, you heard the admonition I gave in regard to perjury, correct?
Correct.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Moeller, please.
Mr. McCartney, please state your name, your employer, and your occupation.
My name is Dan McCartney. I'm employed by Minnesota Power, 30 West Superior Street, Duluth, Minnesota, 55802, as an environmental compliance specialist.
Before we do the other questions, is it okay if we get the exhibits in at this point, Your Honor?
Sure.
Okay. Before the hearing, we had marked three exhibits. Exhibit one was marked the Southwest Oliver 230 kV transmission line application dated November 2011. Exhibit two, same name except with supplemental filing, dated February of 2012. And then exhibit three was the certification relating to order provisions transmission facility siting executed by Brad Oakes, our chief operating officer. I moved that we admit these exhibits, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Any objection, Mr. Armstrong?
No objection.
All right, I'll admit exhibits one through three, the application, the supplemental materials, and the certification are admitted.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Please continue.
Okay. Mr. McCartney, what is your role in connection with the Southwest Oliver 230 kV transmission line project?
I'm responsible for the siting and permitting of Minnesota Power's critical infrastructure additions, such as high voltage transmission lines, substations, and new electric generation sources, like the Bison Wind facilities.
What is the purpose of your testimony at this proceeding?
The purpose of my testimony is to answer questions regarding transmission, regulatory, and environmental aspects of Minnesota Power's combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit.
Please describe the Southwest Oliver 230 kV transmission line project.
Minnesota Power proposes to construct, own, and operate an approximately 11-mile, 230,000-volt, or 230 kV, three-phase alternating current electric transmission line on wood H-frame tangent structures from the existing 34.5 230 kV Bison substation to the proposed Tri-County 34.5 230 kV substation site.
Please generally describe the route being proposed by Minnesota Power.
The transmission line would originate at the proposed Tri-County 34.5 230 kV substation located in Mercer County. The proposed location of the Tri-County 34.5 230 kV substation is in Section 36 of Township 141 North, Range 88 West. From this location, the route will head east for approximately 11 miles. What will turn south and end at the existing Bison substation in Section 4 of Township 140 North, Range 86 West.
What is the estimated cost of the transmission line?
The transmission line is estimated to cost approximately $10 million.
How much right-of-way has Minnesota Power acquired?
A 130-foot right-of-way will be acquired for the transmission line. This includes 65 feet of right-of-way on each side of the structure center line for the proposed facility. Right-of-way impacts and calculations for our application are based upon this 130-foot right-of-way.
Would you please summarize the extent of the contacts that have been made by Minnesota Power's team with the landowners on this proposed route?
All of the participating landowners were initially contacted via telephone, after which they were mailed informational material describing the nature and scope of the project. Included in the mailings was a map showing the proposed route of the transmission line relative to each landowner's respective property and sample copies of the option and easement agreements that would eventually require their signatures contingent upon their agreeing to participate in the project.
How many total landowners are crossed with this proposed route?
We have 16 individual parcels with approximately 60 private landowners along this proposed route.
Has Minnesota Power obtained adequate land rights to support this project?
Minnesota Power has obtained signed options to purchase easements on all private properties necessary for construction of the transmission facilities. In addition, Minnesota Power has purchased the site for the proposed substation.
Please describe Minnesota Power's reclamation practices for transmission line right-of-ways.
During construction, crews will attempt to limit ground disturbance wherever possible and will employ appropriate erosion control measures. Upon completion of construction activities, landowners will be contacted to determine if any additional restoration due to construction is necessary. Disturbed areas will be restored to their original condition to the maximum extent practicable and as negotiated with the landowner. Post-construction reclamation activities include removing and disposing of debris, dismantling of all temporary facilities, including staging and laydown areas, leveling or filling of tire ruts, and reseeding areas disturbed by construction activities with vegetation similar to that which was removed.
How have landowner concerns influenced the structural design of the proposed transmission line?
All transmission structures will be self-supported H-frame monolithic steel towers on reinforced concrete foundations to eliminate the need for guy wires and thereby minimizing impacts to agricultural activities.
Does the Southwest Oliver transmission line route impact any exclusion areas listed in Chapter 69-06-08 of the North Dakota Administrative Code?
No.
Does any part of the proposed Southwest Oliver transmission line route impact any avoidance areas?
No.
Have any historic areas which are not specifically designated as exclusion or avoidance areas been identified?
Not to date. Minnesota Power has performed a Class 1 literature search, which has resulted in no significant historic properties being affected. Results from the Class 1 literature search can be found in the November 2011 application. Minnesota Power has also performed a Class 3 resource inventory of the entire route corridor. This inventory has resulted in no significant historic properties that would be affected by this project. The resource inventory can be found in the February 2012 supplemental filing. If a historic area is discovered during construction activities, Minnesota Power plans to work with the North Dakota SHPO to appropriately mitigate any potential impacts.
In what other ways has Minnesota Power honored North Dakota's standards in the design of the Southwest Oliver transmission line?
Beyond addressing exclusion and avoidance areas, the implementation team, with the assistance of HDR Engineering, considered potential impacts to all other criteria listed in Chapter 69-06-08-01 of the North Dakota Administrative Code, using GIS data sets for desktop analysis followed by on-site routing efforts. Each applicable criterion was factored into the proposed route.
Are there any areas where animal or plant species that are unique or rare to North Dakota would be irreversibly damaged?
No. In addition, Minnesota Power is working collaboratively with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to contribute to the conservation and recovery of the endangered whooping crane.
What is Minnesota Power prepared to do in furthering the cause of protecting this species?
As adopted in the Commission's orders for the Bison 1 Wind Project Certificate of Site Compatibility in case number PU-09-151, we have agreed that within the migration corridor, any above ground transmission or distribution facilities we build will be equipped with bird flight diverters along with an equal length of pre-existing line, which for Minnesota Power will mean our DC line.
This facility is located in Mercer, Morton, and Oliver counties. Have approvals been obtained from these three counties?
Yes, we submitted on February 16, 2012, a compliance filing with the applicable local approvals obtained from Mercer, Morton, and Oliver counties.
Are there other permits that are required for the transmission line?
Yes, an MPDES permit application and stormwater prevention pollution plan will be prepared by Minnesota Power and submitted to the North Dakota Department of Health prior to the initiation of transmission line construction.
Will the proposed route pass within 500 feet of a farmhouse, rural residence, or place of business?
No.
Has Minnesota Power considered the potential for noise from the proposed transmission line?
Yes. The nearest sensitive receptor to the proposed route is approximately 1,500 feet away, where noise from the transmission line is expected to be below rural background levels.
Will the facility have any visual impacts to the adjacent areas?
Visual resources within the proposed corridor largely consist of broad expanses of cultivated fields, rangelands, and grasslands. Because of the gently rolling terrain in the proposed corridor, the transmission structures will be visible in the general area of the route. However, due to the low population density of Mercer, Morton, and Oliver County, the visual impacts will be limited.
Do you anticipate any significant impacts on areas of extractive or storage resources?
No. There are no economic lignite reserves in the proposed corridor.
Mr. McCourtney, the commission notice of this hearing dated January 18, 2012 listed the following four issues to be considered. Based on your knowledge of the project, do you believe the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facility will produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes.
Are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources?
Yes.
Will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
Yes.
Is it appropriate for the Commission to waive procedures and time schedules as requested including the request for a single consolidated application for corridor certificate and route permit?
Yes.
Does this complete your direct testimony?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Waller. Mr. Armstrong, any questions of Mr. McCourtney?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. Mr. McCourtney, the application indicated that no poles will be placed in any wetland areas. Is that still the case?
That is still the case. We'll try and span, but we will span the wetland areas.
Okay. You discussed some of the acquiring options for the easements. I understand those have all been obtained.
Correct.
And then your testimony, you indicated that the right-of-way will be acquired. Is that a different process than acquiring the easements?
Well, when you acquire options for easements, you approach the landowner and you say, you know, we have a project here, a potential project. We'd like to have the options to purchase that right-of-way. Those have all been signed. So once we start to move forward with the project, that's when we acquire the right-of-way. So essentially, the right-of-way has been reserved. Just once the project starts to move forward, we will then acquire that 130-foot corridor.
As far as wildlife and agency communications, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service also recommended construction avoiding the breeding season. Is it your understanding that'll be avoided to the extent practicable, or
to the extent practicable, it will be. One thing I think that's important to keep in mind here is that route is along almost entirely agricultural land. So, you know, the Fed's concerns as far as timing is concerned, they're well-founded. I don't know if they're particularly meant for this project, just because there isn't, you know, large expanse of grasslands available for the critters to be nesting in.
Because of the area you're in.
Yeah, correct.
That's all the questions I have.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Mr. Lean, please.
Just one.
Sure.
What is an NPDES permit? Is that dust emissions?
It's a stormwater permit. Okay. It's the National Pollution Elimination Discharge System.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Mr. Lean. Commissioner Clark, please.
Just one question. The commission has become fairly familiar with this U.S. Fish and Wildlife 1-for-1, or 2-to-1, I guess, bird diverter whooping grain mitigation issue. We've heard about it in other cases. In this case, it sounds like you'll be adding another 11 miles of bird diverters to the existing DC line. Is that right?
Correct. MP has a, or Minnesota Power has a DC line that is within the whooping crane migration corridor. So we will be adding an additional 11 miles on to
right.
that.
So to what degree was there analysis of impacts to that particular line? What we had heard from a engineering standpoint, reliability standpoint, adding these diverters to it, what we had heard in other cases, were there some lines at least that are not suitable for upgrading and adding bird diverters to the line because of the extra weight and potential icing issues and things like that. Can you discuss the analysis that Elite or Minnesota Power did to look at the impact of adding those diverters to the existing line?
Yeah, there was an analysis done for our original Bison transmission line here. We are continuing that on, building it to those standards. It was suitable for that, and it will be suitable for this. If you're looking for specific figures for that analysis, I can get you those figures. I don't have them with
me. Well, and I don't know that we need that in the record, just some sort of assurance that an analysis was done so that from a reliability standpoint, the integrity of the existing system isn't being compromised by adding the diverters onto the line.
Particularly the DC line, correct?
Particularly the DC line, right, the existing infrastructure.
Yep. We also have marked portions of our existing DC line as well, and we haven't had any problems with that as
okay.
well. So
thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Just have one with regard to the map and identifying various places and objects, including occupied residence, things like that. You have farm unit not verified, the little orange square. What exactly is a farm unit not verified?
Let me make sure I'm looking at the same thing here. The farm unit is something other than the residence. So if there's a barn in the field or something like that.
So that's what I was looking for. So it's some sort of a, perhaps a former homestead or at least
could be
outbuildings and things that might, but not occupied residence on this.
Correct.
Okay. I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Kalk, please.
Actually, a couple. Thank you for your testimony. Just, I want to make sure I understand the one comment. 16 individual parcels, 60 private landowners along proposed route. So does that mean we've got 16 people that are directly have this power line going across their property?
There's 16 parcels that have this transmission line going up across their property. Now, there's several instances here where it's a family trust.
Okay.
Where you have, you know, I think the record for this one was, I think we had 17 on just one parcel that we were trying to.
So where the 16 individual parcels, some of the trusts could equal as 60 private landowners?
Exactly, Commissioner.
Okay, so how many easements did you have to get signed?
We had the options for easements, and then they all had to be signed by
all the trust members.
Correct.
Okay. I guess, so when you talked with, I'm a little surprised nobody from the public, we're not done yet, I guess, is here to say they don't want this power line going across. We just finished a power line hearing that was quite controversial. When talking to folks, it appears by folks here today or not here that there wasn't much concern, but there must have been. I'm just curious what you heard out there.
Actually, the landowners that we've dealt with have actually been quite supportive of it. The Minnesota Power is not a utility here in North Dakota, so everything we do is 100% voluntary. So all the landowners that we've worked with have had to voluntarily sign on. We pay well for our options and our easements, and they're in favor of it.
Okay, fair enough. And then Jerry asked a question about the permits, but NPDES permits, I'm aware of them, but I thought there was some low ends where you're not required to have the permits. This project is not that big, but they still want to have the permits for this. Is that just because of the construction phase?
It's something that Minnesota Power would have done regardless, just because of the size of the permit and the scope of the project.
Okay, fair enough. And then you also said there are no economic lignite reserves in the proposed corridor, so that means there are reserves, but at this time they're not economically recoverable. And that to me would mean at some point, how would you determine if they are?
The nearest economic lignite reserve within this corridor is 1.4 miles away. And we've determined that it is less than 10 million tons of lignite within that reserve.
Okay.
Now, the four operating North Dakota mines recognize 500 million tons as an economical reserve to set up shop.
So we're not close to those standards
no.
at all.
No, we're not close to that, and we're a fair distance away from it.
Okay, thank you. That was all I had. Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner Kalk. Any further questions of Mr. McCourtney? No further questions? Thank you. All right, did the attendance sheet get around? I'm sorry, Commissioner Clark. Sure.
Has there been any survey work done with regard to potential abandoned mines and if there's any undermining issues that you need to deal with?
There has not.
Would that be something the company's willing to consider doing? We've often asked that in cases like this, either transmission line or wind generation facilities, being that it is an area that at least has some chance of historical mining.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anything further then of Mr. McCourtney? Thank you. Attendance sheet has gone around. Everybody's signed. Nobody indicated they want to testify. I'll say it for the record one more time, though. Anyone from the public wishing to present testimony in regard to this application today, testimony to the commission? I see no one wishing to present testimony. So, and your presentation is complete. Mr. Moore, correct?
Yep.
I guess I did have one just clarifying question for Chair Clark's last question on the abandoned mines. Would that be something that's done prior to construction or prior to a pre-construction meeting, or how would the commission, how has the commission handled that in the past? We haven't had to address that issue before.
I'm trying to think, and I'm looking towards staff, and we've often asked that question in hearings, and I mean, to me, it would, yeah, oftentimes there's surveys where they indicate, yeah, we've checked with, you know, oftentimes our staff, the Abandoned Mine Land Division staff of the Public Service Commission. Whether it's a late filed exhibit or just something that's attested to in the affidavit, I am somewhat agnostic, but I'd look to my staff to what.
We've handled it with direct language and orders in the past, basically saying, you know, the structures won't be in the location of any, you know, what's the word we've used?
And then a filing.
Any sinkholes in the area of any potential sinkholes. We haven't ever had the requirement of the surveys on the front end, because that's often done, you know, on site as they're out there. So I wouldn't envision a late filed exhibit. I would envision it being addressed in the order.
Okay. Right. And the, I think initially it's oftentimes just a record search with our Abandoned Mine Land Division, which has records of all the ones that they're aware of, the abandoned mines that are out there. And so hopefully that avoids problems later on during construction.
And then a filing later if necessary.
Right, if there's something that's found on site as you are in the construction process.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else to bring to the attention of the commission before we take closing comments? Oh, we do need to talk about proposed findings. I imagine you're going to be filing proposed findings.
I discussed that with staff before the hearing, and we'll file those this week.
Okay.
And then there's the other closing comment is there was lunch is going to be served at, I think, 11:30, though. So I'm going to, we're too quick today.
Okay. Well, maybe we could. No.
I know.
Well, we'll take closing comments, but I don't think they'll be quite that long. So, Commissioner Clark, please.
Thank you for a very efficient hearing, and look forward to taking the record under advisement. The commission, of course, as we indicated before, doesn't make any determination today, but we'll have a chance to schedule a work session probably at our next meeting, and hopefully process it fairly quickly thereafter. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Clark. Commissioner Kramer, please.
Just thank you. Obviously, Minnesota Power, well, we're all very familiar with this room. You all look very familiar sitting in these same seats. But one of the things I think is worth mentioning is that I don't know that we've ever had public comment at a Minnesota Power siting hearing, and we've had a lot of them. And
in other cases.
In other cases. Yeah, with lots of wind farms, obviously several related.
Maybe one in New Salem.
Maybe. Wind farm. I don't think we had a single. If we had, we had one maybe.
Yeah, I think we had Mr. Ellsworth speak at
the Bison One hearing.
I think that's probably right. That was the one in New Salem.
And then thanking Jim for what he's been doing for Whooping Crane work.
Yeah, so. We've never had a protestant, but we've had one, and that was favorable. I bring that up only because, as Brian said earlier, I mean, we are in the middle of a hotly contested one, and understandably, everything's different, every situation is different, every geographical area is different. And I suspect that some of it has to do with the fact that Minnesota Power has been around a long time, and that people, the landowners in this area, have been around energy development for a long time. And so there are a lot of reasons why that might be the case, but I do think it's worth noting because, as I always say, we look like really good regulators when all the heavy lifting's done before you get to us. So I appreciate the relationship between landowners, local officials, and the company that does all the due diligence to make this process go smoother. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Commissioner Kramer. Commissioner Cock, please.
Well, just to kind of the same extension of thought, I'm very surprised. It's good to see that the company's able to get all these things worked out, bring in a good case, and we can ask the questions, because the better job you do up front, the easier it is to make better decisions for us. So thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Kalk. Thank you, commissioners. It's about 10:45. If there's nothing else to bring to the attention of the commission, I will close this hearing. This hearing is closed. Thank you.